the birds are about, and there is an exclamation there. So things about practicing kindness. So I just pulled out a few of those principles, things like peace. You know, Matariki talks about peace, talks about compassion. There's grace, you know, grace to learn a new thing. Grace to love a God who's put within the universe, the stars, for our benefit. There's unity, you know, and I think that that's something that whether you agree with it or not, just, you know, like we just need to be open to new concepts, new ideas. We can't stay stuck in where we were. And I'm so glad, I think about, I've been a Christian for a long time, and I'm so glad I'm not just only thinking those things I thought then. I would have missed way big part of experience of life. So there's honour, there's loyalty, there's justice, there's sacrifice, there's teamwork, freedom, thankfulness, family, influence, and a lot more. One of the things that we do have on our notice board out in the foyer is a saying, and it's in this directory too, and it says, with your basket and my basket, together we thrive. And that's kind of what I was talking about with Ben and Sarah. You know, if we didn't bring our basket, do you think they would thrive? I don't think so, because that would be incredibly hard work to, you know, like if they didn't have your help for a start off. You just think about when you come into the building, there's somebody out there to greet you. So that's wonderful. Okay, so you think, okay, Ben and Sarah out there greeting us, but oh, who's doing the worship up the front? Who's preparing the cup of tea? Who's taking the children to Sunday school? There's all these things that we together do, and way beyond that. One of the things I wanted to say about was prayer. You know, we are towards the beginning of the year, being called the church to prayer. And I just love this because I'd have been on my heart, you know that scripture that says that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And I love that, and I think that's where, you know, that should be the function of the church, is that we pray, that we seek God. Because we come in here this morning, and I know Bernie and Anand, you know, you've just led us into the lovely presence of Jesus, and I'm so grateful for that. But you know, as we come, we can worship God, but we, you know, to pray, to seek His face. And so there's been three, well, there's actually four prayer meetings corporately in the church. Anybody able to tell me what one of them was? Like, do you go to one of them that you could say, I know this time? Wednesday lunchtime, Thursday night, Tuesday morning, and Sunday morning. That's right. So there's four times. I decided to align myself with the Tuesday morning prayer, which is at 6 a.m. I absolutely love it. I go to bed on a Monday night and I just think, I'm so excited about prayer the next morning. Honestly, I am. And I am naturally a bit of an early riser, but it's more than that. There's something about coming down and just gathering together and focusing on God. And I tell you what, that sets me up for the most incredible day. It's the way that, for me, it would be one of the most profitable days, I think, because I've got God focused so early with the brothers, they are, because actually there's not another. Bronwyn's come a couple of times and she finds it really hard to get out of bed, and that's fine, Bronwyn. You know, but I just want to put a shout out for prayer meetings, and particularly the Tuesday morning one. You know, there are a few of us that gather, and I tell you, it's lovely. We just gather in the back there with our little chairs, and I just love it. And I just want to say that, you know, if you are thinking, oh, what am I going to do on a Tuesday morning, maybe you'd like to consider that. And some of us take time afterwards to have coffee, don't we, Anan? And it's just such a joyous day for me. It just sets me up. So I just wanted to say about that. So that's that whole thought of with my basket and your basket, together we thrive. We thrive. You know, what I can do on my own might just get me through, But what we can do together, we thrive. Isn't that a good thought? Okay, so I'm not going to spend any more time on that, apart from I wanted to say, I thought, oh, I'm going to be doing this thing on the testimonies in the church on Sunday. I better have a listen to see what was sort of the kind of the way they did it, you know. I looked back and there was one in April and Debbie spoke at that, and I love that, Debbie. And I remember her saying to me, she'd spoken, and I thought, oh, I must listen to that, and I sort of hadn't done it. But, you know, the thing out of it I wanted to say was that as I was, listening to it, one of the people that did give a testimony in April was Marion. And Marion said about how she had started to lead the Thursday night prayer meeting, and in her testimony, as she was talking, was saying, oh, and I have just become so full of faith. You know, it's been so good for me, and so full of faith. And so she said that, and then she said, I just write it down, I don't want to miss anything. She said about how faith had arisen in her, and she believed that as we pray together, faith arises. And I totally agree with that. And then she went on to say that, you know, when we have that level of faith, when the storms come into our life, we can say, peace, be still. Oh my gosh, when I heard that, I let Marion know. I said, oh, Marion, you know, because this is after her surgery. And I said to her about it, and I said, I felt like she'd made a prophetic statement, because, you know, it was only a few weeks after that Marion found out that she had a brain aneurysm. And, you know, Marion has continued to plow in prayer. She's continued to wait on God. And this week, Marion had that aneurysm operated on, and she's done really well. And so I'm just, you know, thank the Lord for that. What a great thing. Can we just give the Lord a clap? Incredibly vulnerable place for her to have been in, and, you know, just amazing, amazing. I'm just going to read out one portion of scripture. I had thought of a couple, but I'm just going to read out this one. And this is in light of Matariki, but also to me, this is like hallelujah. This is a time to praise God. So it's in Psalm 148, and I'm going to read from the Passion Translation, and that's a whole other story. So it says, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Let the skies be filled with praise and the highest heavens with the shouts of glory. Go ahead, praise him, all you his messengers. Praise him some more, all you heavenly hosts. Keep it up, sun and moon. Don't stop now, all you twinkling stars of light. Take it up even higher, up to the highest heavens, until the cosmic chorus thunders his praise. Let the entire universe erupt with praise to God. He spoke and created it all from nothing to something. He established the cosmos to last forever, and he stands behind his commands, so his orders will never be revoked. Let the earth join in with this parade of praise, you mighty creatures of the ocean's depth, echo in exultation. Lightning, hail, snow, clouds, and the stormy winds that fulfill his word, bring your melody, O mountains and hills, trees of the forest and field, harmonize your praise. Praise him, all beasts and birds, mice and men. Kings, queens, princes and princesses, young men and maidens, children and babes, old and young alike, everyone, everywhere, let them all join in with this orchestra of praise. For the name of the Lord is the only name we raise. His stunning splendor ascends higher than the heavens. He anoints his people with strength and authority, showing his great favor to all his godly lovers, even to his princely people Israel, who are so close to his heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? We're going to start this morning. I'm going to ask. There's a little lad over there. Well, not so little actually. So Harlem, are you still there, Harlem? Are you going to come and have a little chat to us? I would love that. Harlem, thank you so much for coming up. And now I know Mum's had a bit of a chat to you. You look hot. Have you been rushing around doing something? You have? No? You're just hot because you're up here. That's what happened to me. So do you want me to hold this? Are you happy to hold it?
And have a little hold it.
Yeah, great. That's awesome. Thank you.
Matariki special. Like, we look out for her. They look out for us. It's kind of like God. God looks out for us too. Matariki's one special stars like Pūanga. Pūanga and Matariki are friends. One of my things, my favourite things, I moved out to my friend. That's really good what happened to me. Yeah.
So I think you were saying that when you moved out to Inglewood, what happened then? You moved close to
my friend's house and stuff, because it's much better. Last year I was in my friend's class. This year I'm in my own friend's class. Now I'm a year three. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Give him a hand, everybody. Thank you, darling. That's lovely. Oh, no, love it. Well done, Harlem. That was so good. Don't you love that? Out of the mouth of a young man, you know, he proclaims, you know, the goodness of God. So moving on from there now, I'm going to actually ask Gay if she would like to come up and share something with us.
Oh, hi, everyone. Selena rung me and I thought, oh, do I have a testimony? And I thought, well, we always should be able to testify, no matter who we are. And so I started to think, oh, could I do this? And then I was thinking of my neighbour. I've had a neighbour that lived next door to me. When she moved in, she was, that would have been about maybe 3 years ago, a solo mother with kids. And then after a while, and she had dogs that were quite yappy. And then some young people moved in with her that had extra dogs. So there was dogs and rabbits and cats and galore. But the young people that moved in were sort of like gang members, right? And they were selling drugs on the side, growing marijuana in the garden, all kinds of things, you know. And like from the beginning, I made known that, you know, I was there, and if she was able to help, and she had my number. And sometimes if the dogs got a bit noisy, I'd text her. And then one time, she just suddenly, everyone just left the house, and it was shut up for 2 weeks, and the dogs were just left, and they barked nonstop, I tell you, from 7 till midnight. So we rang the SPCA. But when she got back, she said, oh, you should have texted me. Something happened. But I think the young man ended up in prison. Then she came back, and I had a little operation, and the dogs were noisy, and I said, oh, look, I've just had an operation. Oh, sorry, Gay. And she put a bottle of wine in my letterbox to say sorry. And then just recently, you know, the police were called, and she rung me in a real panic. Gay, I'm really sorry, but if you hear a goat yapping, it's my boyfriend caught a baby goat, and if it's there, I'm really sorry, but I've been a victim of domestic violence, serious domestic violence, so I'm not at home. And she rung me and told me this, right? And then she came home a few days later, and I've cooked some muffins and taken to the kids and taken things over. And I just thought, like, and I did tell her that I'd pray for her and be there for her. But I just thought, you know, like, we need to be there for our neighbours. Maybe we don't preach Jesus Christ all the time. But one thing, I was never afraid, even though I'm a woman on my own and all of these young boys coming and going. I even used to say hello to them. And then I just looked up a scripture. And this is from Romans 1, 15, verse 1 and 2. It says, we who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each one should please our neighbours for their good and build them up. So I think we all can build up our neighbours, no matter who they are. And sometimes we might have neighbours that aren't so good. Do we pray that God removes them, or do we try and meet them where they are at and be that light in the midst of the darkness. And she said to me, oh, thank you for being such a good neighbour. Because like after she told me about the domestic violence, I said to her, you know, if you need me anytime, just text me, you know. And but the police had put some stuff in there. And now she's moved out totally. I don't know where. But I just thought, you know, like just testifying, being who we are, the light in the darkness, even in little bits, just being there, just saying you're there. And then after we'd called the SPCA, if the dogs were a problem, I'd text her and she would do something about it. So we built a relationship. Maybe not close, but close enough that she knew who I was. She knew I was a Christian and she knew I was there for her.
I just recently listened to a message from John Jay, who's an English evangelist, and I like his sense of humour. Thanks, Murray. Murray put me onto this man. He talks about, you know, how the neighbour came to him because he said that they called him and his wife the neighbours from heaven. And he says, which is great because you wouldn't want to be the other ones. And so, you know, is anybody's, you know, maybe struggling with a neighbour? Gay, would you just pray for that, you know?
Yeah. Lord, I just thank you for our neighbours, no matter who they are, Lord. I just thank you, Father, that we are the light in the darkness. Lord, I just thank you, Father, that you'll give us insight into their needs, ways that we can be that light in the darkness. Lord, we just pray for peace over our neighbourhoods. Lord, we just thank you, Father, that we can even pray over our neighbourhoods. Lord, we can pray for your goodness to be there. We can pray for your peace. So, Lord, I just thank you, Father, that we would begin to relate to our neighbours and be that light in Jesus' name.
Thank you. That's awesome. We all want good neighbours, but you know what? We need to be a great neighbour ourselves. So the other person I've asked to speak this morning is Colin. So give Colin a welcome.
Hi, church. Mate, just need to loosen up a bit. I'll get Luke. Luke said before we come, he has the power to turn me off. but anyway, Luke, Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11. Anyway, just got to loosen up a bit, guys. Breakfast in bed again this morning, guys. Just want to say I got a fantastic wife. And you know, when I come home from work, my wife, she must hear me coming up or something, but she goes racing down to her room, does her hair, pretties herself up, and so when I come through that door, she always looks amazing. And I think, you know, I just want to say, you know, I just want to honour her. You know, when I see her carrying a load of wood, right? So we got a fire. Anyone been to our place? Okay. So down the bottom of the stairs, we bring the wood in from the top, put it in a wheelbarrow, and then we carry it down the bottom of the stairs, right, to the fire, because it's down the bottom, heat rises, right? Well, when I see her carrying a box of wood, you know, and if I see one of my boys lying on the couch when she is carrying that box of wood, right, my toe suddenly, you know, my leg starts, you know, and I say, you boys, and, you know, because she treats me like a queen, like a king, right, in our house, and she's a queen, you know, and that's how, you know, the boys are awesome, you know, they treat her like a queen, okay, so, anyway, we better get into it. So, yeah, Heck, a bit of prayer because I'm bound to lose it. So, Lord, I just come to you. Lord, I look to you. I think about Jehoshaphat. Lord, he went out and praised, and you did the work. So today, God, I just want to have my heart set on you. I pray you'd guide everything we say, everything that is said now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anyone got old Bible? Anyone had their Bible since they first became a Christian? Go on, hands up. Yeah. Well, mate, I got this Bible here. I've had it for, I was 21 years old when I became a Christian. I've had it ever since then, or actually, your father was instrumental. Actually, I think his name it is Jonathan Marshall. It's still in the top of my Bible. And yes. So anyway, yeah, so I read from probably a different version what's going to go up there. It's oh, great. Okay, sweet. Even better. Okay, so I'll just go to Matthew. Oops, I'm going to need glasses, guys. Matthew 7, all right? Matthew 7, Matthew Mark, Matthew 7, 7 to 11. Okay, as that goes. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Now, by the way, as I'm reading this, there's someone here that this word is for them, okay? Okay, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? Okay, ask him, right? Yeah, there's the other thing was, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven? See, God is good. God is good. He's not evil, right? When you ask him, you know, how much more will your Father in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Okay. I just want to share a bit of a testimony, right? So, last year was quite a year, guys. Everyone have a bit of a year last year? It was, you know, the whole place was turning upside down, and yeah, she was a bit topsy-turvy. But got to December. So what happened was, at our place, so we got 17 acres. Oh, mate, that's a story in itself. But anyway... We got 17 acres. It's a bit of work. You know, I got a lot of stuff I want to do. You know, these trees. You know, I like chopping trees down. I like picking up all the rubbish. I like cleaning stuff up. You know, I got cows. I got, you know, got fences to do. Got a lot of stuff at home, right? So last year I decided. Well, what happened was at work. So I work at McCurdy's. Anyone know McCurdy's? McCurdy Trucks? So at last year, what happened was there was so much work, you know, that they were contracting stuff out. You know, they're saying, look, we got so much work, we can't even build we haven't got enough people, right? And so the pressure was on all the staff. You know, you guys, we're going to have to put in rotational Saturdays, right? Now, you know, I could feel myself getting squeezed, right? Well, they came out with this sort of thing, and I was thinking, at the time, I was thinking, oh, I was just thinking of going down to 4 days a week. And, you know, they're coming out with this really sort of thing. So that was sort of like the climate of it, right? So what was happening at home was it was slightly out of balance. So I've got all the stuff at home I want to do, and I've got work trying to get every last drop out of me. And and I'm thinking, something's going wrong here, right? So slightly out of balance. Okay, so I started thinking 4 days, and I knew it was going to be a big ask to go up to my boss and say, I really want to do 4 days a week. And so I was humming and hawing about it, and I was thinking, they're not going to like it. You know, it's a real biggie. And so what happened was I'm on my way to work one morning, and I'm just going out the door, and Marlene comes up. She says, "You should just resign." I said, "What?" You know, I love my work. You know, I have so much fun in my work. I mean, it's I really enjoy my work. And so all my life, you know, if a man don't work, he don't eat, right? That's how I was sort of brought up, right? So, you know, I love my work. my wife says, they joke about it. They say, you're the man that never left the job, right? Because what happened was all the places that I've worked in, like McKechnie's, closed down and they laid me off, got redundant, right? Well, they didn't lay me off, I choose to, but I got redundancy, right? Fitzroy Yachts, same thing happened, shut down. And later on, different things, right? So I'd never actually, maybe once, you know, just sort of left, right? So I love my work, right? And Marlene comes up and says, "You should resign." So I'm going into work, and the first guy I meet is Lance. He's my boss. He's my foreman, right? And I hit him with it. I said, "That's it." You know, Marlene, she comes up to me this morning. She says, "You should just go and resign." And I says, "I really want to do 4 days a week." I was telling my boss, "I want to do 4 days." I was telling Lance, right? So he's the foreman. And so what happened was, word went up the line, and so I said to Lance before I finished, I said, "Look, at the end of the year, I'm going to be in that office." Oh, sorry, at the beginning of next year, so it was December, right? I thought I'll just hang through. At the beginning of next year, I'm going to be in that office, and I need to sort this out, right? So I stuck in there till the end of the year, and anyway, so I'd already told my foreman, right? So what happened was, word had gone up the line. Okay, and so on the next year, I went into work in January, and I said, I went into the office, got Paul and Holly, awesome bosses, guys, awesome. You know, I really honour them. So I went in there and I says, "Yep, I need a meeting with you guys." And I went in there and they said, "Okay, what do you want?" And I says, "Oh, you're asking me." I said, "Yep." And I says, "Look, this is what I'm here for. I would really like to do 4 days a week. And I want every Friday off." And they said, "What? You can work 100 hours a day, you know, and all this sort of caring. You need to work more and more, you know. And we can't. And I says, "Look, I'm 61 years old, right? And it seems like my life is getting more and more, you know. I got so much here. I got so much at home. And, you know, I really want to do 4 days a week." And so I laid that down. That's what I want. And they said to me, "Okay, we can work with that." And I was absolutely, you know, I felt like Nehemiah. Nehemiah going to the king, you know, and Nehemiah needing God's grace. And that's what happened, you know. They said, "Yep, we can work with that." And he sent through all the emails, through all the, to all the other people above me, and says, "Right, from this time on, Colin will have every Friday off." And so I just want to, I want to give glory to God for his goodness, because God is good, right? And so that's one testimony, right? So I just want to read another word, guys. Okay, Psalm 23. Actually, you guys probably know Psalm 23 pretty good, right? But I better find it. So there's a couple of verses in Psalm 23. Okay. Here we go. Verse 4, right? We'll start from verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Right. Now, I just really want to... This verse 5 here, it says, Thou doest prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, just put it in a bit of context. Okay, so we're all out there in the world, right? If you're a Christian, you're a light in a dark place. Okay, now you can imagine a torch in a dark room. That torch lights up, right? It's real. It's out there. Okay, now I work in a place where a spade is a spade. If you're a dickhead, they'll tell you, right? So if you do something stupid, it's like, you know, I work in a place that's you know, it's pull down marriage, it's, you know, there's all these things that are happening in the world, right? And it's all out there, okay? And so those are the guys that I work with. Okay, so you can imagine my little light shining in that dark room, okay? So I'm lit up. So what's tend to happen over the last 3 years, it's like the Lord's put me on a cross in front of everybody, right? And so if you can imagine that smoke, say that was our smoke obey, but it's a bit bigger, right? And so we have 25 people in that room, right? A little bit bigger than that, and there'd be another 30 people sitting outside having smoke and whatever they do, you know. Okay, just want to be outside. So there's 57. I counted up one day, there's 57 people at work. Okay, now, one of the questions I'd say is, Cole, why do you go to church? They say things like, so this is in front of everybody, okay? Everybody gets involved. So there's like 5 tables. Everybody gets involved in the conversation. All of a sudden, I don't know why it happens, but that's what happens, you know? And then they say, you know, you could be a rich man if you didn't go to church, you know? They don't know. Okay, they say, actually, I do need some extra money. Maybe I should come, and when that plate goes around, I should grab some money off it, you know? This is what they say, right? And they say, oh, if I need another 20 bucks, I'll come down and grab it when the plate goes around. You know, they've just been silly, right? But it's all out in the open. And so that's the kind of thing I'm... So what's happened is, you know, I work 36 hours a week or something like that, right? Now, these guys, they're working like 50 hours a week or more, you know? And, you know, they get time and a half Saturday and double time Sunday, and, you know what I mean? It's all there. It's the money's there if you wanted it, right? Now, they say, I could be a rich man if I didn't go to church. And I say, nah, you guys got it all wrong. I'm a rich man because I go to church, you know? And I speak it all out, right? And then, so what's happened in the last 3 years, see, God's really blessed me, right? He's blessed me, right? I asked for a paddock to drive my motorbike in. This is what happened. You know, 7 years ago, I went to God and I says, God, I'd really like a neighbor's paddock to ride my bike in, right? Yeah, he gave me a whole farm, okay? Now, you know, God is bigger than we can ever imagine, you know? That's the kind of God we got. So, you know, what's happened at work is they used to, you know, put me up on a cross, so to speak, right? Really nail me for being a Christian. But I just stood my ground, and now, last year or something, you know, I went out and bought a new ute. And so, you know, everyone was shocked. What's going on, right? And I say, mate, I'm broke, you know. And so I always play along with them. When they say, you know, it's of course you give all your money to the church or something like that. Well, it's not like that at all, you know. It's, you know, God is no man's debtor. And so what happened was when it's got so bad that they are ashamed to speak about it anymore. So what's happened is, you know, God has blessed me so much that, you know, that when it came to the point of, you know, you'd be broke. I mean, you'd be much better off, you know, if you weren't going to church, sort of thing. Well, you know, they come up and I have them on. You know, I say, look, I got 6 kids, I can't afford. You know, I'm broke. You know, I drive this beat up old car. And, you know, I got to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And I'll tell you what, they shut up, you know. And now what's happened is it's like they're ashamed. You know, this verse here, this verse that I read out, says, thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And that is what's gone on in my work in the last 3 years. And, you know, I just see the goodness of God all over my life and my work. You know, I go to work and I have a ball. You know, I really do. I'm there for fun, right? I really am. And, you know, I just see that God's goodness is upon me. So, yeah, I think I'll better finish here, right? So, yeah, all good.
Just thinking, it sounded to me like he almost had his own church going on out there with the, you know, which is an amazing place. I out of the things that you were saying, the self-determination that you've made a choice and, you know, God backed you up on that. And, you know, I think that at times in our life, we can make the choice and God will back us up. And I wonder whether there's anybody struggling with a choice, with about, you know, should I do or shouldn't I do this? But actually, you know, it's the right thing. And it's like Colin and Marlene together, it sounds like you knew together that it was time for work not to have that place of elevation that was just making it hard at home. And I don't know, I just wonder if there's somebody here today that is struggling. You know that there's something that you should be doing, but you just can't seem to get the backup. And I just wonder if Colin will just pray. Just close your eyes, and if there's anybody, you can put your hand up if you like. But just let's ask the Lord.
Yeah, I really feel God wants to bless you guys. Okay, so Lord, I just pray today, Lord, everybody that here that's got a need, Lord, I just Lord, your word says ask, and it shall be given. God, everybody here that's, Lord, that needs the God factor to come through. I just, Lord, I join faith with them now. I join in the name of Jesus, and I release the power of God across everybody here that's stretching out that need. I release the power of God, and I say be opened. Open doors in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. I say be blessed. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. May the God factor flow through now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
That's awesome. We're right on time for Lydia to come back now and just close the meeting. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Selena. And thank you, Colin. Oh, wow. Being a Christian is really challenging. You know, just listening to Colin, and that's, you know, sometimes that's what my friends always do to me. And I thank God, you know, for giving me the patience and the love, because otherwise I'll be throwing some fivefold ministry. But praise the Lord, you know, that he is able to control our emotions, our anger, because, you know, for us as human, we always want to retaliate and, you know, defensive mode. And but I thank and praise the Lord for, you know, for always remind me it's not worth it. Let them watch how God is going to take us through this journey. And I thank Gay for her testimony for becoming a good neighbor. You know, I think the world is looking at actions more than words. Yeah, I'm just going to end our service this morning. And I just want Luke to play this song. You know, at the end of the day, this is what we'll need. We'll need more of Jesus. So let us stand while Luke play this song. And just close your eyes and just listen to the words before I pray this morning.